Okay, good morning again to you. Greetings in Jesus' name. We're continuing our Bible study here on biblical practices in the New Testament. We've already looked at communion and feet washing, and the next one on the list here is the holy kiss. And I know it's some of you are smiling because I know it's something that we practice and we don't practice. We are quite open to greeting each other in different ways, and I think it's really good to look at this. Most of us come from settings where it was we practiced it quite strongly, and as we look at this, we'll maybe come to an understanding of what, hopefully we can come to an understanding of what it actually is and what it means, and whether it's applied to us today or not. Basically, the holy kiss is mentioned 5 times in the New Testament, where Paul is telling the churches there to either greet or salute one another with a holy kiss. We find that in Romans and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, and 1 Peter. And this is the big question, though. Is it a cultural expression, or is it still applicable to us today? I want you to hold those thoughts in your mind, or those questions, and think about it. Basically, what I'm going to do is open it up for a time of discussion, because I don't necessarily feel I have a lot to say about it, but I would like to definitely have a time of discussion on it. What I'd like to do to begin with is I went through Strong's, or I looked at those verses in Strong's and picked out the words salute and greet, and holy, and kiss, according to Strong's. And I thought if we look at the meanings of those words a little bit, it might give us an understanding as well. The word salute or greet basically means the same thing. And in short words, it's a hug. According to the way the word, I don't even know how to pronounce the Greek word there, but it's to enfold in the arms or to welcome, to embrace. So if you really think about that and think about the early church and the way they practiced greeting one another, in a lot of ways it's like what we do today too. We often greet each other with a hug. But as we go on here, he says greet one another with the holy kiss. In other words, hug one another with the holy kiss. So what does that all mean? Now the word holy comes from the word hagios, and this is in the Greek, which, if you think about God being holy, it's sometimes referred to as an awful thing. Our God is a terrible God, if you can say that. It's sacred, physically pure, morally it's blameless, or religious, ceremonially it's consecrated. And an important thing to note, I thought, is if you look at the word holy in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it refers, of course, more to God, which means hallowed or consecrated or a sacred place. In the New Testament, holy is often referred to us as believers, to be holy. And I thought it seemed to be a little bit more personal than holy in the Old Testament, where it refers a lot more to God. And now, the word kiss, in the Old Testament, it means either literally or figuratively to touch. When we think of kiss, you know what we mean by kiss, right? We pucker up and we kiss. Here in the Old Testament, it often refers to a form of touching. As a mode of attachment, it's also referred to as to equipping, such as an armor. Three times, it's likely due to the... That's using the word nashek, I think is how you say it in the Hebrew. Three times, it's likely due to its connection to fastening up or equipping ourselves with armor. But it does say, if I can find that now, the word is almost exclusively used, though, to denote kiss or kissing in an obviously platonic way, which means kissing on the cheek or on the hand. It was a form of greeting, is what it was. The word kiss occurs 35 times in all of the 39 books of the Old Testament, which I was kind of surprised. I assumed that it would be in the Bible a lot more often than that. And that is reference to all the greetings that there is in the Old Testament. Now, the interesting thing is, though, we live in America, in North America, in the Western culture, and to kiss is... There is, we do see it in today's culture around us. There is some of it. But you go into the Eastern cultures in the Middle East, and it's basically practiced there all the time. Now, kiss in the New Testament comes from the word cataphilio, which means to kiss earnestly, which means it has more of an affection. It has more of a bit more meaning to it. Another way it was expressed was to kiss much, kiss again and again, or kiss tenderly. You often think of that when you're kissing your little child or your baby or something, right? There's a lot of affection there. And in the New Testament here, that is what is implied by that. We will find, actually in the New Testament, the word kiss isn't even mentioned that often. I think it was maybe 11 times accounted. But in the form of this word, cataphilio, it's mentioned 5 times, and I'm not sure, I've only got 4 references here, so I'm not sure what the 5th one is. But these are the references that use that word in the Greek. And twice it was when Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. The other time was when the woman anointed Jesus' feet with oil. She wiped his feet with her hair, and she anointed his feet, and she kissed his feet. And the other time was when Paul was leaving Ephesus for the last time, and everyone knew that. And if you remember the reference there, Paul preached a sermon there, but then afterwards, the men gathered around him, and it says in the King James Version, I think they fell on him, on his neck, and kissed him. And that is an example of cataphilio. Now, it also is referred to as philema, I think is how it's pronounced. And according to Strong's, all it says is a kiss. That's all it's referenced to. But it does come from the word filio, which I think most of us understand what that word is, which means to have affection or mark of tenderness. And there was a lot more under that, but that's what I had wrote down. So there's a lot of reference there to having affection and being tender, which as we continue on here, you'll see a little bit what I mean. Now, the interesting thing, something I haven't really written it down in my notes here, but something that I was thinking about this morning is when we have the question in our minds, is it a cultural thing? Does it apply to us today? Remember that back then, it was a very cultural thing to kiss with a greeting, or to greet with a kiss, I should say. So it wasn't really a new thing that Paul was telling them. Back in the day, it wasn't a new idea, but he did add something to it that I think we should take note, and he added the word holy. So what does it mean? We all know what it means to greet one another with a kiss, right? But if we add the word holy, what does that mean? I hope you can come up with thoughts and ideas on that. And the word holy, or the holy aspect of the kiss, it doesn't only exclude the sexual end of it, but it also excludes the insincerity and deceit. So if you think about it, if we're going to give a holy kiss, we're not going to have anything in our hearts towards that person. Otherwise, the kiss is just a kiss. It's not a holy kiss. So it makes quite a difference on what kind of a kiss it is. An example of that is in 2 Samuel 20, when Joab took Amasa, I guess it is. And this is actually a form of a way that they had done it already, was that the men would actually sometimes take the other men by the beard to kiss them. And that's what Joab did. But it didn't stop there. He stuck him with a knife and killed him. And so that was in deceit. That was not a holy kiss. Okay, back to the question. Now, with those thoughts of what is in a kiss, what is a holy kiss, what are your thoughts? These are just questions to maybe stir your minds, generate some thinking. If we have a mic ready, pass it around. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I just want to open it up for discussion, ask questions, share thoughts. So, is it just a cultural expression in the Bible times? Is it only applied in Bible times? And I'm referring to the holy kiss in this, not, well, I guess in the next question kind of gives that away. Does it only apply culturally in today's society? We realize that greeting one another with a kiss is a cultural thing as well. It's done a lot more in the Middle East than it is in America, but it is done in America as well, depending what culture you're in. But the holy kiss, is it something that only the early church applied? Was it only the early church that practiced it? Or when did it disappear from there? Why did it disappear? And is it still applicable to us today? So what are your thoughts? And if you don't practice it, there's probably a reason why you don't. Maybe you want to share that. And if you practice it, then maybe share why you practice it. Ray. I know it's going to probably take a little bit of boldness to talk about this because it I wasn't sure if I feel comfortable standing up here talking about it either, because it's I have practiced it and I have not, so it's in a bit of a way it's kind of an open thing. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I don't know about the boldness part, but some things are easier to talk about than others. Kissing another man is not something I talk about very often. My first thought when I saw it was I do practice it. I think most of my kisses from my wife and my family are holy. And I'm not saying that as a real downer or trying to be smart. That was just my first thought. As far as, I don't know that I have much to say more than I remember a conversation I had one time with someone who didn't practice it, but claimed to believe it. And I don't actually think that way. For example, if I claim to believe that I should be greeting my brothers with a pucker-up kiss, then but I don't practice it, and you claim to believe it as well and you don't practice it, then it's obvious to me that we don't actually believe it. Not so? I mean, people can comment on that. Is it just a cultural expression? I do think it's true that Paul was not so much referring to the kiss part, like not so much referring to that you are to literally pucker up and kiss each other as he was to the holy part, because I think the kissing happened quite generally, much the same as we would do a handshake. If it's cultural, it's cultural. We greet each other and we say, how are you? And we slap each other in the back and we say, fine, or whatever. But so I think the emphasis should definitely be on holy, which means there's nothing between us and so on. I'm not going to go out and say exactly whether we should practice it or not. I will say that there's something about it that I find myself really shying away from. Having said that, if it's important to someone, and I have some friends that it's important to, I have absolutely no issues with it. They know that it's not something that I hold dear, but at the same time, I think I have no problem practicing it with people that I know hold it dear, and I do.
Okay, thank you. Ibra.
Yes, I do comment on Ray's explanation. It is kind of a sensitive thing. I guess all I can say about it is my experience. And even to this day, it amuses me over myself. What depends who I meet from the culture I came from, I can embrace him and kiss him and mean it. Mm-hmm. And I feel the return. And it basically stems always from if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, died for our sins as a gift, we can embrace, and I've done that to strangers that confess that. To me, that is sacred. And the difference between culture, I think a culture expression can almost be worded a ritual. It basically means nothing. It's just simple or whatever. But a holy kiss, when it really strikes a chord of connection through Jesus Christ, it's a tremendous blessing.
If you were to look at where it's written, it's generally not written as a command. It's sort of the passing thought at the end of whatever Paul was talking about. Whereas if you look at, take for instance, and I have no problem with it, by the way, if it's practiced properly, but headship, for instance, he explains why. That was one commentator's thoughts on it, is generally when there's a command, there's an explanation. It's not just a little tag at the end of the sentence when you're leaving and your last parting words are, say hello to the brothers with a holy kiss.
Okay, thank you for that. That tends to be a little bit sometimes, well, I don't know, I don't want to say we hang up on that, but I appreciated your thought, Abe, but I think you have a point there. I'm trying to think where it was, where I came across. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 13. No, it's not that one. Paul, one of these references, Paul, it's like Abe said, tacked on the end, but he had gone down through a whole list of different people that he was telling them to greet, I think more often the word was salute. Romans 6, 16. Romans 16. Yes. Now, I'm not sure. This is in a letter. So is Paul referring here to a church that he's not at right now? Or was he here? I'm not real sure. But he's telling them to greet or to salute all these people. Now, if he's telling them to do that, he's telling them to greet them, to hug them. I don't think he's necessarily referring it that he's sending his greetings, but he's telling them to do that to each other, right? And I guess that kind of takes away my thought that I had, that if Paul wasn't there physically, but he was telling them, it wasn't that Paul could physically do it. In other words, if he was passing on his greetings, it was in a way a symbol, right? It wasn't that he could physically do it, but he was telling them to do it for him. But if he was referring to the people doing it to each other, he was telling them to do it to each other. And then at the end there, he says, salute one another with a holy kiss. Now, I guess my question is, why does he, if he tells everyone or tells them to greet each other, salute one another, but then at the end tells them to greet one another with a holy kiss, what does that mean? Do you have a thought, Ron?
I didn't go through all the kiss of charity or holy kiss references, but in Romans 16 here, I lost my verse. Oh, verse 16. He talks to salute one another with a holy kiss, but that's after he referred to some of the closest men and women that he worked with in the gospel. And he was admonishing, I think, the church at Rome to embrace them with the love that he had for them. And in 1 Peter 5, talks about a kiss of charity. Greet one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you and all that are in Christ Jesus. But before that, he talks about like Silvanus and Marcus. And I guess my perspective on it is I do also believe in the kiss of charity, but I don't practice a kiss of charity with just any person. Only people that I do feel one at spirit with. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to figure out now how long it was since I kissed you. That's not what I'm trying to say per se, but in the gospel, I personally don't believe that he's setting up a formal way to make sure you kiss every brother you showed up at church with. But it is a symbol and a sign of oneness with brothers that you genuinely love. And it's an expression of that. And, you know, you see, and at communion there, you see John laying his head on the breast of Christ. Like, there again, through the eyes of perversion, You can make a humongous, and people have made a doctrine of homosexuality out of that. But the truth is that Christ and John loved each other tremendously. And I believe God has, that's God's desire in the church, that the basis of our reality with each other is our love for each other. And he's trying to promote that in the church. And where love does reign between brothers, you will see this happening, I believe, easier than where brothers are a little bit cagey around each other. Mm-hmm. It will be done fast and stiff, and if somebody that they know is watching them that they mayn't miss. But there is another kind of kiss of charity, I think, that happens out of love. And I think we should promote that amongst ourselves, but that's my perspective.
Okay, thank you for that. It's Jonathan.
There's a scripture in Matthew 5, 47. That's interesting. Jesus said, if you salute or greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so. And I think of that when he says, greet all the brethren. Seems like, you know, there's a, and I don't know, it would be an interesting question, I guess, as far as the practice back then. Would they have greeted strangers, or was it simply an expression of greeting to friends and family and people that they were close to? I'm not sure if I know the answer to that, but here it seems to be that, you know, Jesus is making a point that if you just greet those that are your brothers, what are you doing more? And then Paul said, it seems to make a point of saying, greet all the brethren, because we're not necessarily going to have the same level of relationship with everyone. But it seemed like Paul wanted that practice in a broad sense with all the brothers in the church. And I don't know, when we talk about culture and does it only apply culturally in today's society, depending where you go in the world today, I mean, we like to say that the scripture is for all people everywhere, and that depending where you go today, Quebec, for example, or France, kissing is still, they're a lot more free with those kind of expressions, and certainly the Middle East still today would be that way. Does that mean if we would be building a church in one of those places that we would then say it's relevant and would practice it, and as soon as we move outside of that certain locality, it all of a sudden isn't relevant? How do we work through all of that? All of a sudden you're applying a scripture somewhere where you're not applying it somewhere else, depending on the location you live in. And I've pondered, what is the real message in the heart that Paul is getting at? And I appreciated you breaking down some of those words for us. And it seems like Paul, and you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but the impression I certainly get in going over those scriptures is that Paul wanted the brothers to meet each other and greet each other with a warmth and an expression of that warmth that was beyond the norm of just a stranger. You know, it was, there's something, and I know, I pondered that in, as I greet my brothers, you know, I think we would all agree that a holy kiss can be as cold, or a kiss, leave the word holy out like you pointed out, can be as cold and formal as you can get it, depending on, there may not be any warmth or in our expression in doing that necessarily. So I certainly hope that I and we don't miss the heart of what I believe Paul was saying, was that there should be a special expression of warmth in our greeting of the brothers. And, you know, if it's not going to be the holy kiss, then what would be better to replace it with? Because obviously Paul is looking for something mm-hmm. over and beyond the norm that he wants believers to practice when they meet each other. And certainly my prayer, my hope is that we continue that expression of that special expression of warmth. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know with the culture and the stumbling that it could cause, I don't think I have to get very detailed, you know what I'm talking about, with the kind of perverted society that we live in. I guess for myself, I can just say where I'm at. I have reserved lip to lip for my spouse, and I don't even allow my children to do that. And so, I think there's a discreet way of doing that that can eliminate a lot of the false, wrong impressions or questionable expressions that. And especially if you study how it was practiced in the Middle East, it was often, I believe, if I at least what I see modern day Middle East people doing, is more of a hug and a cheek to cheek rather than lip to lip.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I appreciate that. I could probably almost sit down because that's what the rest of my study basically covers. It's definitely, again, you know, as we looked at communion and feet washing, it's where our hearts are at with one another. It's the love that we have for one another. That's, I think, too, that's what Paul's trying to bring out. And I'm not, as I'm going to have a few things here that I'm going to be reading, and you'll probably think that, oh yeah, he thinks that we need to literally be practicing the holy kiss. And as far as I'm concerned, take it either way. You can practice that way, or I think it can also, I think there are other ways we can express our sincere love for each other in other ways as well. In studying this, I found so much both ways that I just about didn't know which way to take it, right? Which side of the fence do you go with it, right? Because there's people that support it and believe it should be practiced, and then there's people that say, well, it's only a cultural thing. So, you know, but I think we're getting to the heart of the matter here in the fact that we need to understand what Paul was trying to teach and what he wanted the brotherhood, the early churches, to feel towards one another. In the Bible, the kiss was a sign of love, respect, friendship, and honor. It was a mark of innocent affection. And you'll see that throughout the Old Testament when they greeted one another. Jacob kissed his father, Laban kissed Joseph, Esau kissed Jacob, Joseph kissed his brethren, Aaron kissed Moses, Moses kissed Jethro, Naomi kissed Ruth and Orpah, and David kissed Jonathan, the father kissed the prodigal son. Just all expressions of, those were mostly affectionate kisses to a certain degree there. And Jonathan covered a little bit too on how, what is proper, and I didn't really go into it, I didn't really study that out too much, but it's interesting to read the history of the holy kiss. Evidently, it was widely practiced in the first few centuries of the Christian church. We are told that during the worship service, there would be a time of greeting in which the men would kiss the men and the women the women on the cheek or the forehead, and in the case of the men, on the beard. It was a sign of intense family relationship in the early church. They didn't just talk about being a family. They were a family, and the holy kiss served as a symbol of their love for one another. It was a holy kiss because it was exchanged between holy people. It was a holy kiss because they truly felt they were brothers and sisters in one big happy family. The holy kiss was a normal greeting between the Christians. So it was, the greeting was a normal thing, and then to make it holy within the church became a normal thing in the church as well. And I think if I may say it here, I think that's what we have here too. I think when we greet one another, whether we do it with just a hug or with a hug and a kiss, I think it's holy. If we have nothing in our hearts against one another, that's what makes it holy. Now, there's I have a few examples here from some early church writing. The author wasn't given to this, but it was written that let the deacon say to the people, let no one have any quarrel against another, let no one come in hypocrisy, then let the men give the men and the women the Lord's kiss. But let no one do it with deceit as Judas betrayed the Lord with the kiss. Now there we see it both ways, both literally and physically done, but there was meaning behind it. He was telling them how not to do it. And in our greeting, if we're not going to greet each other with warmth in our hearts to each other, then maybe we shouldn't greet each other. Augustine said of the early Christians, they demonstrated their inward peace by their outward kiss. So there you have what they already were experiencing and the outflow of it, what happened. And Cyril of Jerusalem said, this kiss is a sign that our souls are united and that we banish all remembrance of injury. There again, the thought that we don't have anything in our hearts toward each other. We're open, we're honest, we share with one another. Any more thoughts? Ron?
Just a thought on that culture thing. I think it's important to know that our culture is on its way to hell. The world we live in. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful, because everything in the Bible is circumstantial to culture, even the ones we like, even communion and getting diseases through touching the bread. And, you know, you can get way off on culture. I think it's important that when we study the scriptures that we can respect and appreciate the people around us, and we must. But culture is not the guide to God. Mm-hmm. God is his own way to himself, right? And you mm-hmm. have to be careful with that culture word. It's relevant, but it's not. Because we are not of this world. We're not supposed to think like the world. And so that was just going around in my mind. I know brothers here know that, but I just thought I'd throw it in there for a thought.
And I totally agree. It's we live in a culture, but we can't let culture rule if it's not according to the word, the scripture. There's a place that we need to apply scripture to our lives where it may be outside of our culture, maybe. And I'm not sure. The thought, I said something that what happened that it's not practiced like it used to be, or worded, why is it not? In my studying, I had found something in relation to why maybe it was stopped, or why some churches didn't, and some of that had to do with disease, as I think somebody had mentioned. It is obviously an easy way to spread germs, right? And so I think sometimes it was stopped or reduced or whatever because of that very situation. And we know back in the day before. Today we have all kinds of antibiotics and medicines and so on, and back then they didn't have that, right? So it's probably a little bit more sensitive to that. But I guess my focus this morning is the heart, which was brought out already. And I was looking at a sermon here. It was preached by Ray Pritchard. I don't know if you know him or not. But it was titled, Let's Bring Back the Holy Kiss. Now, you'd think, you know, by looking at the title, you'd think he was saying, you know, let's be doing this again. And he does mention that to a certain degree, but that in itself wasn't the heart of the message. This is the next thought I want to bring out. We have a touchable God, okay? As he walks the dusty roads of Galilee, he touches the blind and they see. He touches the lame and they walk. Parents bring their children and he takes them in his arms. A woman with a discharge of blood touches his garment and he knows it. A prostitute kisses his feet and he is honored. He is the touchable God, not some abstract concept, not a theological proposition, but the word made flesh and dwelling amongst us, full of grace and truth. When he died as all men must die, and was buried as all men are buried. He was God incarnate, walking among us. We are his people. The church is his body. We do him no justice when we put up a sign that says, stay away. Do not touch. I want my space. Strange as it may seem, when we greet one another with a holy kiss or a holy hug, we are reenacting the very heart of our Christian faith. We are a touchable people because we are the children of a touchable God. And if you noticed, one of the thoughts, I think it was in the Old Testament wording of kiss, was to touch, right? And we are affected by touch. But, you know, our God, Jesus, came down and touched us as well, right? And, you know, through that, we're a touchable people because we are children of a touchable God. It seems to me that we desperately need to recapture the dynamic of the early church. Even the pagans said of them, behold how they love one another. Why is touching so important? We talk and talk, but the message doesn't come through. Almost all of us can say it better with a hug. That's the whole point of the holy kiss. It always involves physical contact. If you don't touch, it's not kissing. Just ask any teenagers. What's the thought here? You take a teenage boy, and he has a choice between a handshake or a kiss from his aunt. You probably know what he's going to pick, right? When you hug someone, or when you put a friendly arm around a shoulder, or when you greet someone with a holy kiss, you are sending a message that can't be missed. I care about you. You're not alone. We're in this together. And if we can't say that in church, where can we say it? And if we're embarrassed to say that in church, why are we here in the first place? Nowadays, we tend to substitute technology for personal contact. We email each other, or we send a text message. Because we live in a flat world, technology allows us to have a virtual home office with a sales office in South Africa, a plant in Germany, a shipping hub in Korea, a distribution center in San Francisco, and a customer service department in India. We routinely exchange electronic greetings with people thousands of miles away, most of whom we will never meet in person. And there's nothing wrong with sending electronic message or greetings. It's a good way to stay in touch with people. And how often do we do that, right? We text, email, Facebook, whatever it is. It's a very common thing today. But there is nothing like being there in person, face to face, up close and personal. That's why the internet can never truly take the place of the local church. You can't give a holy kiss over the internet. I'm not saying physically the holy kiss, but the heart of the holy kiss. It's easier sometimes to send a text message or an email than it is to talk to the person in person, right? And the thing is, it's because it's almost a way out of really not having to show where our heart is, right? Some things can only happen in person. We need sensitivity from the Lord to know how best to truly greet one another in the Lord. We need to find ways to express our holy, innocent affection for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Different people will express themselves in different ways, but we're not free to ignore this command as if it doesn't apply to us, okay? He words it as a command, but it's true. We're not really free to ignore that, right? Paul's trying to teach us something that he wants us to apply in our lives. Early Christians who were hated and often persecuted loved each other fervently and weren't afraid to show it. And I have here down that example of Paul. Paul's final visit with the elders of the church at Ephesus, he's on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. The elders go out to the island of Miletus to meet him. They and he know it will be the last time they ever see each other. In a marvelous final message, the great apostle lays before them a charge to be faithful shepherds of God's flock. Then it's time for him to leave. And here's how the Bible puts it. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him. The King James Version says they fell on his neck. These are grown men, godly men, spiritual leaders who are overcome with sadness, expressing their love and devotion the only way they know how. Let me say frankly that if we're embarrassed by all this, the fact tells us more about ourselves than it does about the Bible. For most of us, the greatest need is the courage to do what the Bible says, to reach out, touch a brother or a sister and say, I love you. We need more hugs in the body of Christ, more open emotion, more expressions of caring, more daring to tear down the walls and get close to each other. I know I need it, and I think most of us do. I have a testimony from somebody that experienced it physically, the holy kiss. Just thought I'd share it for what it is. There are still cultures where the holy kiss is practiced today. I'll never forget my first trip. I don't know who I is necessarily, but I'll never forget my first trip to St. Petersburg, Russia with John and Helen. When the men of the Temple of the Gospel greeted John, one after another, they hugged him and warmly kissed him on the cheek. The women did the same for Helen. And so it was in every church we visited. I even got kissed a few times. Let me tell you, it's a very strange experience for an uptight American to have a Russian brother give you a bear hug and then smack you on the cheek. So you take, and that's the way it is over there, right? They express their love that way. And then it says, after a while, I liked it. It was a real genuine and a mark of Christian love. Not only did it seem strange, once I got used to it, it seemed profoundly biblical. I didn't feel like a stranger anymore. I felt like a brother in Christ. So see, there he was feeling what they were sharing, right? And that's what we need to do with each other. We need to share honestly, feel, be able to feel each other. So any more thoughts? I'm just going to wrap this up quickly here. Okay, I just came across this and I thought it's interesting. Thought just leave this as a challenge with us. Two practical steps, something that we can do. And the first one is ask yourself, is there a Christian friend I don't want to greet with the holy kiss? Now, you can take that figuratively or you can take that literally. If you answer yes to that question, is there somebody that you can't greet? Then most likely there's something between you, okay? The important thing is that you need to get that settled. I'm not saying you need to kiss each other, but if there's something between us, if there's something there, that's the important thing, is to settle that. And the next one is something that you can do practically, is take a step toward greeting a brother or sister this week. In other words, go do something about it. You know, it could be, and we do this, I know we do this. It could be a phone call, it could be going out to lunch, it could be opening your home, or a letter, a surprise gift, or even the holy kiss. But the thing is, open our hearts to each other and share. The encouragement is that we don't have to stay. Actually, I want to read something else here. Most of us are far too glib in the way we greet each other. We're too quick, too casual, too prone to say hi and then look the other way. No wonder so many lonely people fill our pews. No wonder folks come to church looking, praying, hoping that someone will look their way. And no wonder they leave feeling empty. The encouragement is that we don't have to stay that way. We are the children of a touchable God. Jesus entered our world and he touched the untouchable. In the first century, you couldn't come to church without a hug or a kiss. We need to recapture the view that all true Christians belong to one large family. When we do, the holy kiss will once become appropriate, and the world will once again say of us, behold how they love one another. And that is the heart that God wants us to have, that we are able to love one another.